I'd like to ask you tonight to please turn in your Bibles to the book of Philippians. I'd like to read from Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Would like for us to look primarily at the first three verses before we begin to endeavor to study from God's holy word. I appreciate very much the audible prayers and silent prayers that have already been prayed, but would ask that you please join your hearts together with me in another moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee again, Lord, for the privilege that we have to call upon the one true and living God, and the privilege to know that Thou art not only our God, but that Thou art our Father. And we can cry unto Thee, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And Lord, we pray that Thou would help us all, that we would live lives that would honor and glorify Thee. Thou knowest our weaknesses and our frailty. Thou knowest the need that we have of Thy help. And we thank You, Lord, for those that have overcome various temptations and have come together in Thy house this night. We thank You for every member of the church and every friend and visitor that has come to worship with us tonight. And we pray that Thou would help us tonight to be able to feel the presence and the power of God. Thou hast taught us that if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more will our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? We come tonight asking Thee to fill us all with the Spirit of God, that we would be able to really worship Thee, that as we hear the Word of God, that our minds would be attentive to Thy Word. Thou would help us to center our affections on things above rather than on things of the earth. Thou would help us to hear the Word of the Lord, and that Thy Word would be as seed sown in fertile ground, that it would bring forth fruit to perfection in each of our lives. We do beg Thy blessings upon all those who are sick and afflicted, and those who are traveling. We pray that You would give them a safe trip. Those who have lost loved ones, we pray that Thou would comfort their hearts and give them a peace that passeth all understanding. Again, now bless all those who are having special burdens and problems, the unspoken prayer requests, and all those who stand in great need of Thy help. We pray that You would help and bless, not according to what we deserve, but according to Thy mercy and Thy grace. We pray that You would bless our nation and all those in authority over us. We pray that You would have mercy on our nation, that You would spare us of the severe judgment that we deserve. Again, now we pray that You would help us as we try to study Thy Word this night. Bless each individual and each family that's represented. Help us all to live during this coming week closer to Thee than we've ever lived before. We pray in the name of our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In Philippians chapter 3, we'd like to begin reading with the first verse, read the first three verses. The Word of God says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." I want us to think tonight primarily about that third verse where the Word of God says, "For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." The first statement is, "For we are the circumcision." Now, for many years, the Apostle Paul had believed that the circumcision that was so important was an outward physical circumcision. For many years, as a Jew, and as a leader among the Jews, and as a spiritual leader, the Apostle Paul thought that the circumcision that was so important was something that only the Jews did. But now he begins to see and understand that there is another kind of circumcision that's more important than that outward circumcision that they were doing. In fact, the Jews, the scribes and the Pharisees, they were called hypocrites, because the thing that they concentrated on in their religious activity were things that were outward and things that were visible. You remember how they would come and they would rebuke Jesus, for example, about how his disciples didn't watch like they ought to be watching. And Jesus just turned all of that around and said, you're nothing but whited sepulchers. That is, on the outside, you've cleaned up and you've washed up yourselves. But he says, inwardly, you're full of dead men's bones. And so Jesus repeatedly was condemning the Jews because all of their religion was just outward show of religion. They had a form of religion, but they denied the power thereof. And you remember how the man whose name was Saul was converted, and all those things that he thought were so important, all those things that he put so much emphasis on earlier in his religious life, all of those things became nothing. And now he says, there is a circumcision that's different than the circumcision that I used to talk about. There is a cleanliness that's far superior to the cleanliness that I used to talk about. There is a religion that's much different than the Jews' religion that I used to be a part of. And that's the religion of Jesus Christ. And it's not an outward form of religion, but it's a true religion. And he says, and we are the circumcision, which he says does three things. We are the circumcision which, notice the wording there, which worship God in the Spirit. Is it important that we worship God in the Spirit? We're going to come back and look at those three things in just a minute. But I want you to remember, he says now, we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. Now, as a Jew, he looked forward to the coming of the Messiah, but he did not really understand the great significance of Jesus Christ until God opened his eyes, and now he could really rejoice in Christ Jesus, his Lord. We are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Now, in Philippians chapter 3, he's going to come on and he's going to talk about, now, if you want to talk about confidence in the flesh, I had a reason to be confident in the flesh. And he talked about his flesh. He talked about what a great Jew, and I'm putting all that in quotation marks because that's kind of what he's doing. He's saying, I thought I had great confidence in the flesh. I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. And he talked about all his pedigree as a Jew. And then he says, now I count all those things but dung that I might win Christ. He talked about all of that was not any religion at all. All of that was a dead religion. It was a form of religion. But now we find what true religion is all about. And he rejoiced in that. Now, what does he mean here when he says, now, we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Is he saying we're the Jews? Is he saying we are the Jews that do that? He is, but he's not talking about natural Jews. And that's the first thing I want us to look at tonight is, what does Paul mean when he says, now we are the circumcision, because before this time, who did the Apostle Paul consider to be the circumcision? The Jews, the natural Jews, the Jewish nation. He thought that was the circumcision. He says, now, that no longer do I consider to be the circumcision, but I see that there is a circumcision far greater than that. Go with me. And this wasn't anything new, by the way. This had always been true. Old and New Testament. Go back with me to Jeremiah chapter 4. Please back up in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 4. And I want you to see how God, in the Old Testament, God continuously was rebuking the Jews because they were losing sight of all the physical things they were doing that were supposed to have spiritual significance. And they lost sight of the spiritual significance that was behind the physical things they were doing. Isn't that easy to do? To lose sight of the real reason of why we're doing all that we do? I think that we have the same thing going on in churches today. Where we think, well, my goodness, we went to church. We went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. That's religion. That's not religion at all. Now that's part of what religion is. What religion is, and the circumcision they did in the Old Testament, that was part of what religion was, but that wasn't pure religion. And it's not pure religion today just to go to God's house. There are a lot of people today who think that they have true religion just because they go to church. There are a lot of parents today who think they're raising their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord just because they go to church. And many, many children today that are in serious trouble are children that are going to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. But listen, brethren, unless the parents are living the way that God teaches us to live in the home, they're nothing but hypocrites, and the children can see that. And it's not doing much good. It's destroying the children's lives. Did you know that pregnancy among teenagers today, of those who go to church, is just as great among church-going people as it is those who don't go to church at all? Did you know that divorce and remarriage is just as great in the church today as it is among those who never go to church at all? Did you know that all of the ungodliness that's out there in the world, it's no different in the so-called churches today as it is out there in the world? Why? It's because the church has become just like the Jews were in Paul's day, when it's nothing but a form and a show of religion. It's nothing but a civic club. It's not worshiping God in spirit and in truth. It's not true religion. It's not pure religion. It's not religion that honors God. It's just something that appeases the conscience of the people. And Paul said, I'm not having a part of that anymore. I'm not going to be a part of that anymore. If it's not real, I will not be a part of it. If it's just going to be some outward show, I'm through with it. Now listen to Jeremiah chapter, and again, I want to emphasize this is not something new when Paul started this kind of teaching in the New Testament. Listen to Jeremiah chapter 4. Jeremiah chapter 4, listen to verses 3 and 4, and you'll see that even in the Old Testament, God was teaching that, sure, you carry out a natural circumcision, but there's another circumcision that's more important. In Jeremiah chapter 4, listen now to verses 3 and 4. The Word of God says, For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem. Is He talking to His people or to the world? He's talking to His people. Who is the Word of God to? Is the Word of God to God's people or is it to the world? It's to God's people. That's the reason 27 times in the New Testament Jesus says, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. The Word of God is a spiritual message from a spiritual God to a spiritual people. And if you have not been born of the Spirit of God, it has no relevance to you as far as a spiritual message, because Jesus says, Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. There are people in this world that cannot hear the word of God. Then there are those who can hear the word of God, but they stop up their ears and don't hear. And that's a serious matter to be in. It's when God's people know what God's word says, but they're not willing to follow what God's word says. Now God's speaking to His people here, to Judah and Jerusalem. In Jeremiah 4, verses 3 and 4, He says, Thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, Break up your fallow ground, and sow not among thorns. Now listen carefully to verse 4. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 4 says, Circumcise yourselves to the Lord. Now, is He talking about circumcision here? And what are those Jews? What's their only real understanding of circumcision? It's the circumcision of the flesh. And He's going to make it very clear that's not what He's talking about. He says, Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your heart. Do you see the difference there? He's talking about cutting away the foreskins of the heart, not talking about cutting away the foreskins of the outward flesh, but cutting away the foreskins of the heart. What's He talking about? Is He telling them to do something to be born again? No. He's talking about those who have already been born of the Spirit of God. There's an inward cleaning that God's people must do in order to do the three things He says in Philippians 3. Philippians 3:3, He says, Now we are the circumcision which, what? Worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Do you know who it is that can worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh? The only people who can do that are those who are doing what the Word of God says here, that have circumcised the foreskin of their hearts. They have begun to work to clean up the inside of their lives and not just the outside of their lives. That's what James was talking about in James 4:8 when he says, "Cleanse your hands, ye sinners." Is he talking about go washing them with antibacterial soap and all that? Is that what he's talking about when he says, "Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded"? Is he talking about going and getting heart surgery where you have all the cholesterol cleaned out? He's not talking about that at all, is he? When he says, "Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded," he's talking about the same thing that the Word of God is talking about here. When God tells the people of Judah and Jerusalem, he says, "Now circumcise the foreskins of your heart, ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem." Listen, I want you to look back. Look at your Bible. Please look at your Bible in Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 4. "Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your heart, ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire." Now, will God send forth His fury like fire upon His people? Yes, He will. Again, these are words to the people of God, to those who have been born of the Spirit of God, to those who have been called out of the world, those who have been redeemed by the blood of Christ. He says, "Lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none can quench it because of the evil of your doings." If all we do is just have some outward form of religion like the Jews did, then we're headed for hell. Everybody here understand what I'm talking about when I say we're headed for hell? I'm not talking about dying and going to hell. I'm not talking about dying and going to hell at all. I'm talking about a hell that God's disobedient children experience while they walk here in this world. Can you do something to save yourself from hell? Can you do anything to save yourself from eternal hell? No. Who did that? Jesus Christ. But can you do something to save yourself from a hell while you live here on this earth? Yes, you can. What do you have to do? You have to circumcise the foreskin of your heart. You have to clean up the inside. Stop playing religion. Stop any outward form of religion unless there's something inside that's being cleaned up too. So he says, if you don't do that, it's a serious thing now. If you just keep on going the way you're going, and Paul, that's really the realization Paul came to on the road to Damascus. God just opened his eyes and he began to understand, my goodness, I've been completely wrong. My whole religious life is wrong. Do you think that was difficult for a man who had been a Jew and a devout Jew and was a leader in the Jews' religion? Was it hard for him to leave that Jews' religion and to begin to follow Jesus Christ as a true Christian? Yes, it was hard. But he loved God more than he loved that Jews' religion, didn't he? And I thank God there's children of God like that here tonight, that they love God more than they love men and more than they love any religion they've been a part of prior to this in their life. They love true religion. And they've already circumcised. In fact, I think that's the reason that people get dissatisfied with world religion. Listen carefully. The reason that people get dissatisfied with worldly religion is that they begin to cleanse their hands and purify their hearts and their eyes begin to be opened and they begin to realize, this is no religion at all. This is not real religion. This isn't worshiping God in the Spirit. This is not rejoicing in Christ Jesus. This is not realizing and recognizing the finished work of Jesus Christ. And we have too much confidence in the flesh. And they begin to have their eyes open and they say, I don't want to be a part of religion anymore that has confidence in the flesh. You know why we have no confidence in the flesh? Because, brethren, my flesh and your flesh is just as corrupt as it has ever been. Our flesh is wretched. It's redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. I've been redeemed body, soul, and spirit. But the Word of God teaches us that there's none good, no, not one. My flesh and your flesh is corrupt and evil. That's the reason the Apostle Paul said, I have no confidence in the flesh. Why? Because the Apostle Paul understood that in his flesh he could do nothing that was good and right. The only reason the Apostle Paul could honor and glorify God is because God was working in him and through him. He says, it's God that worketh in me, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. The Apostle Paul came to the realization it was not in his flesh, and he had no confidence in the flesh. It was not in his flesh that he worshiped God, but it was in the what? In the Spirit. In the Spirit. What do we need to do tonight? We need to go see a doctor and have some circumcision done? I'm tricking you now. Listen carefully. Do we need... Yeah, that's right. Dr. Jesus. That's exactly right. We need to go see the great physician. Because you know what? You can't even circumcise the foreskin of your heart without Jesus' help. Did you know that? You can't do it. You can't cleanse your hands. You can't purify your heart. You can't do anything. If you've got confidence in the flesh, you go ahead and try to straighten out your life by yourself. You know what will happen? Tomorrow you'll be in the same mess tomorrow that you were in today. Yeah. It takes the power of God. It takes help from God. Who maketh thee to differ from another? Who maketh thee to differ from another? It's God. Amen. Why do you understand that you're a sinner redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ? Because God revealed it to you. Why do you understand the truth of salvation by grace? It's because God showed it to you. Why do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Because it's been revealed to you. Why do you understand the truth of the kingdom of heaven being here and not the eternal heaven? It's because Jesus showed it to you. I can't teach you anything without God's help. I can't preach without God's help. You can't hear without God's help. We can't do anything without God's help. We have no confidence in the flesh. He says, we are the circumcision which we do three things. Well, before you ever do these three things, what do you do? We are the circumcision which... Now he's going to mention three things over there in Philippians 3:3, but who is it that's the circumcision? It's those who have done what inside? By the grace of God and with the help of God, they have circumcised the foreskins of their hearts. The Apostle Paul explains this clearly in Romans chapter 2. Please turn in your Bibles, talking about being the circumcision, being the real circumcision. By the way, are you Jews or Gentiles? Those of you who are here tonight, are you Jews or Gentiles? Well, in the flesh, we're what? In the flesh, we're Gentiles. But in the Spirit, what had we better be? We better be Jews. Look in your Bibles now at Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. See, the Jews, inwardly being a Jew, has reference to us circumcising the foreskin of our hearts. And that's what he's talking about here in Romans chapter 2. Romans 2 verses 28 and 29. Romans 2 verse 28 says, for he is not a Jew which is one outwardly. Now this is a man who was a Jew of Jews, wasn't he? And he says, all that was to no avail. He says, he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. You see what he's talking about a real Jew is? A real Jew, he says, is one who's been circumcised in the heart. Now, is that a work that God does for us, or is that a work that we're to do? Now, God gave me a new heart. I understand all that in regeneration, but that's not what this is talking about. This is talking about me and you as God's people circumcising, cleaning up our hearts. There's a work that God does for me that gets me into eternal heaven. There's a work God tells me to do in order to enter what? The kingdom of heaven while I live here on this earth. And do you know whether many or few enter? Let me reverse this. Is it many or few that will be in the eternal heaven? Many. The Bible says there is the sand of the seashore, there is the stars of heaven, there is the dust of the earth. There are many that will be in the eternal heaven. There is the stars of the sky, so great that no man can number. Out of every nation and kindred and tongue and family and tribe, you know why there will be so many in eternal heaven? It's because what God has done for them. If it was in one way, in any way, if it was dependent on us doing something, there wouldn't be many in eternal heaven. Now, what about those that are in the kingdom of heaven while they live here on this earth? Will it be many or will it be few? Yeah, Jesus said, "Straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." You start applying that to eternal salvation, you're going to contradict the truth of God's Word. Me walking the straight and narrow way does not get me into the eternal heaven, but me walking the straight and narrow way will, by the grace of God, enable me to enter the kingdom of heaven while I live here on this earth. And we need to pray that God will help us to walk in the straight and narrow way. Walk in the light as He is in the light, so that we can have fellowship with Him. So Paul says, now we are the circumcision, which, what do? Well, what's the first thing we have to do before we can do those three things he mentions in Philippians 3? You have to circumcise the foreskins of your heart. Be a Jew inwardly, not just a Jew outwardly. And then when you do all that, then you can worship God in the Spirit. Worship God in the Spirit. I can't worship God in the Spirit. You know, Paul says, when I sing, I want to sing in the Spirit. This is 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15. He says, when I sing, I want to sing in the Spirit. When I pray, I want to pray in the Spirit. When we come to God's house, brethren, if the Spirit of God is not with us, I can't preach, you can't hear, we can't sing, we can't worship God. Because they that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Isn't it good to feel the presence of the Spirit of God? We're the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit. What's the second thing? Rejoice in Christ Jesus. Rejoice in the Lord. You know, it's amazing how he starts off in Philippians 3. Was he almost through with this epistle in Philippians chapter 3, verse 1? Was he almost through with the epistle? Think. How many chapters are in Philippians? How many chapters are in Philippians? There are four chapters. Philippians chapter 3, verse 1, is he almost through with it? Okay, he's halfway through with it, isn't he? And what does he say? When he's halfway through with it, what does he say? Finally, you know, that's like most preachers do, in closing, finally, well, he was only halfway through. He said, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. And he keeps on talking about that, rejoicing in the Lord. Do you have a reason to rejoice tonight? Even if you've got troubles galore, can you still rejoice in the Lord? Even if you have problems on top of problems, can you rejoice in the Lord? Well, the circumcision can. We are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in the Lord and have no confidence in the flesh. May God help us tonight to be the circumcision. Be a Jew. Be a Jew. Be a Jew. But understand that we're not talking about outward circumcision or outward cleansing. We're talking about an inward cleansing that God's people have the responsibility to do in order to serve God acceptably in this world, is my prayer for Christ's sake.